Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus, and I'm pleased to have back with us our good friend Marcella Norell of H&R Block. Hello.
Good morning, Heather, everyone.
You should be the one slurring your words, not me, because we are 5 weeks away today.
Thank you.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. I had not looked at the calendar.
I wanted to make sure your blood pressure was at max capacity when
my blood pressure stays calm.
Yeah,
until the last day.
Yeah, you're a pretty calm, cool, collected person, that's for sure. How is tax season? I mean, what are you hearing, you know, with all the people that you see each and every day at the different four different locations here in this area? What are your customers telling you? How's tax season going?
Tax season's going okay, for given everything that's happening this year. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of changes that are still happening. Everybody's worried about next year. What's going to happen to me next year? That's the biggest question. But, you know, it's February the 9th. We got a new tax law, and some of the extenders were passed, which makes for a stressful tax season. But, you know, it's all part of it. Every tax season is its own personality. And this one has definitely not been any different.
You know, it's funny that, you know, you talk about next year because it seems like that's what, you know, all the questions are about and what everybody's talking about. There's still not a lot of specific detailed information. I mean, there's plenty of information, but, you know, you and I were talking before we went on. It's all kind of surface. I mean, and we'll get to some of it, but, you know, we're still waiting to find out exactly how it's all going to play out.
We are, and there are, you know, lots of areas of the tax cut that was passed in December that are going to be clarified as it goes on. You know, everybody was up in arms about charitable contributions being going away, and then they found out they're in there. And so then, okay, what is the charitable contribution? What can we do now? Mm-hmm. Okay, and, you know, what's the standard deduction? So is the charitable contribution going to do us any good? And, you know, all the planning of that is more involved now. But then there's also the things that they pass that you read it and you scratch your head and go, what are they trying to say? Because that is definitely going to have to be clarified. Mm-hmm. And that's something that when we look at it and we're trying to plan for next year, we're saying, you know, we really are going to be studying that throughout this 2018 year.
So just give us some time.
Give us a little time. Let's see what happens. Let's see what they come out with in final regs and final opinions to what needs to happen here.
Well, we can provide specifics on the extenders, which you talked about a little bit ago. It's funny that we should tell our listeners, last time you were on the show, you literally went back to your office and found that the new legislation had been passed for the extenders, and we didn't get to talk a word about it.
That's exactly right.
You were one frustrated person.
Yes, I was, because it was like that past February the 9th, and if anybody knows me, they know I don't have time to watch the news or listen to anything, and so it's usually, you know, a day or two later before I even hear about it. Or if my husband calls me or texts me in the middle of the night and says, you should look at this, because, well, I didn't get a text that night to tell me to look at it. So, you know, it was a day or two later the same day we were here, that I went back and saw that they had passed it on February the 9th, and I went, oh, man. We could have had fun talking about that.
Well, we can talk about it today. Walk us through what we need to know of those extenders.
Okay. People don't remember what extenders are, but you hear a lot about them. And it was a lot of the Bush era, remember that word? Tax cuts that came up that had an expiration date on them, that every year they had to go back and decide whether or not they were going to keep them or not. Well, in December, when they passed the new Tax Cut Act, they didn't extend those things. So a lot of them, energy credits, mortgage insurance premiums that people pay on their home loans, those expired at the end of December 2016. That was it. IRS kind of expected that they would be addressed in the 17 tax cut, and they even kept the lines on the tax forms so that when they were addressed, they wouldn't have to come back and redo the whole tax form. They could just add that line back in. Well, they weren't addressed in the tax cut in December, but when they passed the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018 on February the 9th. They were addressed in it.
So this is the one that got caught up in the House over the Dreamers Act, correct?
Yes, I believe that's true.
We didn't hear a lot about this because we were focused on something else. But this is, you know, this is the Budget Act.
This was the one that was going to shut down the government for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was what this one was.
Yep.
That was when they were haggling
it
about
did
that.
Shut down it for 24 hours.
Yeah. Yes. So this was all part of that, which is typically how most laws get passed, as a tag-along. And this was the tag-along. So we now have the mortgage insurance premiums we can deduct on 2017 return only, because it was only extended to tax returns with the tax year ending December 31st to 2017. So next year we may be back here again saying the same thing. And then also the energy credit. If you put new windows, doors in your home, you know, new heat pump that qualifies for it.
Energy Star, is that right?
No, Energy Star is different
than the
qualifying.
Okay.
It has to meet the Energy Star guidelines as far as, I think, anything that's purchased now has to meet those Energy Star guidelines. But it has to be energy saving approved for the credit.
Okay.
And the big one on that, that really has a real thing you have to look at, is heat pumps and, you know, what's your SEER rating, which I've had to learn since doing taxes because I sure didn't know from buying a heat pump. But,
well, Matt Martin and I have talked about it right here on this show. So you can just go back to KTLO.com and listen to those old shows.
And I do sometimes.
There you go.
And I even listen to it when it's live. So, you know, most of them now, you know, when the energy credit was first passed in like 2008 or 9 or sometime around there was the energy guidelines for the heat pumps was it had to meet the rules that were in effect like in 2009. Well, we're 9 years from that. So heat pumps and things that are built now, their minimum is what that credit was in 2009. So they don't produce them that are less than that. So most of them qualify.
The paperwork takes a little bit longer to catch up with the technology.
Yes.
In most industries. I think that's safe to say.
That is safe to say. And, you know, you and I were talking before this, and the law passed February 9th. The technology for us caught up with it today.
Yeah.
Because as of today, we can do a tax return that has energy credit on it.
If someone had already filed their taxes and taken care of all that, and then these extenders were passed, and they did, you know, qualify for one of those energy credits, can they file an amendment or addendum or whatever
they can file it? Yes, an amendment.
Okay.
So, you know, you can file an amendment 3 years from the due date of the return.
Oh, okay.
So you've got plenty of time to come back and file an amendment and claim your credits.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the mortgage insurance premiums. You come back and claim. You know, I've talked before about how Arkansas is always a little behind. Well, Arkansas, last year during tax season, they passed legislation that allowed them to be the mortgage insurance premiums to be deductible on Arkansas because it has expired on Arkansas. So this year, as we're going through returns, we're finding some of those returns that were filed before it was enacted, and we're amending them now and getting people a little bit of money back. So amendments are common every day.
There you go. Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting with Marcella Norell of H&R Block. Four locations to serve you here in Mountain Home. Three, of course, in Mountain Home, one in Flippin. You can find them on College Street, out Plaza Way, out by TJ Maxx in that shopping center. Highway 201 North, where Marcella's new old office is.
Yes.
And, of course, on Main Street in Flippin. Tax day this year is Tuesday, April 17th. So, Marcella, you got a couple extra days to get it in under the wire.
Yes, thankfully.
You can go online to hnrblock.com, check out the different locations, book an appointment if you need one, see when the times are available. I say it every time you're here, but I love your interactive website. It makes it a lot of fun to go and see. And for this generation, you don't ever have to talk to anyone on the phone, which which for some reason is a big selling point.
Why is that?
I don't know. We don't have social skills anymore, I'm afraid. I have no idea. So, hey, I want to tell you, I laughed when you mentioned earlier that your husband will text you when there's something that you need to see in the news, because he did text you one night this week. And funny thing is I emailed you as well because I knew you were coming on. There was a story on the NBC Nightly News. Oh, I think it was Monday or Tuesday night. I can't remember which. But Jeff Ronson was driving around with a hacker, a computer hacker in the car, and they were hacking into different business locations' Wi-Fi and then getting into their records. And they were talking about tax season, and they were driving around. This poor unsuspecting soul who had, you know, his accounting office or his tax office, and they were able to jump on their Wi-Fi and, you know, get in on all the records. It's pretty scary.
That is really scary. And it's funny because when we talk about security at the office, I always tell my employees, I don't want to be the featured person on the nightly news that is the person that got broke into or there was data leakage.
Yeah.
So whatever happens that H&R Block does that makes us more secure, I'm going to be okay with it. I may not like it 100% when they get it to where it's so hard for me to log in that I have to do it a couple times before I can remember how to get in to something. But I'm much better with that than I am if my name is the featured person on the news.
You always
I don't want to be there. So when Paul texted me and I went home that night and I had to, of course, get on and look at the nightly news 19 minutes into the segment that he had recorded because he was very specific of what I needed to see. And I was watching it and it's like they went into the firm and I thought, oh, the poor man. Because I felt sorry for him. He needs to fix some things, but I felt sorry for him that he was there, and I don't ever want to be there. So I am very glad that Block has the security that we have. All the things they mentioned in that news story, we're doing already and have been doing for several years. You know, I get mad every time I have to change my password, but all of us that use technology know that almost everything that is secure makes us change our password every 60 to 90 days.
Right.
I had to change mine, I think, last week, and I can't tell you the number of times I've typed the old password, and it said it didn't work, so I have to redo it. But, you know, thankfully, we're already encrypting data. We're already locked down. Mm-hmm. I won't say that nobody could ever hack into our business because it is – there are hackers out there that make it their life's work to do that, but I'm saying that I'm very confident that we're locked down tight enough.
Well, and with our tax documents, I mean, you're talking Social Security number and bank routing number.
Yep.
I mean, someone could go to town with those two, you know, pieces of information.
Yes, because those are the big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about the numbers and what's out there, you know, your Social Security number, your date of birth, you know, all of those are things we use for your tax return, your phone numbers, your where you work, how much you make, you know, everything is there for hackers to get.
Well, and be careful too if you keep, you know, personally, if you keep a tax worksheet on your personal computer that you put together to give to your preparer, you know, you usually list, here's the socials, here's the number I want it sent to, you know, don't just leave that on your desktop, you know, and carry your laptop around to where you're on an open Wi-Fi network.
That's correct. And, you know, so many people and people your age especially, you don't even worry about the computer at home because you do it all by your phone. You know, you can log into your bank account on your phone. You can download a bank statement on your phone. So you walk around with your phone everywhere you go. And, you know, I have clients now, and I always get tickled because it is such a change of times. You know, if I ask them a question about, you know, what did you give to the Salvation Army last year? What did you donate to your church last year?
I don't know. Let me look it up on my phone.
Pull up that phone, and in 2 minutes, they've got it. Whereas before, they had to call the church, or they had to go by the church and get their records. And now, oh, they emailed that to me. I can download that and print it. Here, how about if I forward it to you, and you can print it?
Or is your printer Wi-Fi? Can I just print it from my phone?
Yeah. There you go.
Do we drive you crazy?
No. It's awesome. You know, I can finish your return right then instead of waiting for you to go home and get it and send it back to me and me coming back to it. So it's wonderful.
Well, and you really want, you know, if you do have all that kind of stuff on your phone, you really need to secure it with the fingerprint ID instead of a password ID. I don't know if you're up on that, but that, you know, with the newer iOS, you can download to where it's, you know, I don't have passwords anymore. I just use my fingerprint.
I'm with you.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm in your level.
There you go. All right.
It upsets me when my thumbprint doesn't work because I push too hard.
Yeah.
And then I have to push in the backup password.
I know. But I always say, you know, you're literally going to have to knock me out at this point if you want to steal what's on my phone, because you're going to have to knock me unconscious to be able to use to grab my thumb to get it on there. Hey, I wanted to talk to you. I want to ask you some questions about our sales tax here in the city and in the county, because we've had some different changes to sales tax that customers might have noticed since the first of the year.
That's true. You know, starting January the 1st, the new tax for the public safety and police in the fire and police here in Mountain Home went into effect. So if you shop inside the city, you noticed a new 1% sales tax for your police and fire, the public safety tax. Then starting April 1st, we have the new jail tax, which is to build the new tax or the new jail for the county. It's a 3/8% that runs from April 1st to September 30th. Then after come next January the 1st of 2019, we have the, what is it, the 0.25% sales tax that goes into effect for the operations of the and maintenance for the county jail.
And that will be, like you said, that's permanent.
That's
that will
permanent.
Be ongoing.
Yes. Okay. The 1% for the city and the 0.25% for the county will be permanent once those start, which the city's already started. So, you know, it's those are new taxes that we have. We have some other old taxes that we have inside the city that are in addition to the state. The one that's causing the most confusion is what they're calling the candy tax. That's a good one. You know, a few years ago, the state of Arkansas started the initiative of lowering sales tax on food. So that, you know, your food items we didn't have to pay sales tax on. And it's down to 1.5%. Well, as part of some of their other tax cuts, they tried to get revenue from elsewhere and to fund some of the health stuff too, I think. So they came up with the candy tax, which is if, you know, if it's candy, then you're going to have to go ahead and pay the 6.5% state sales tax on it instead of the food rate, which is the 1.5%. Some of the definitions of candy are really getting people. And when I looked it up online and tried to come up with some, you know, what is subject to the 6.5 versus the 1.5, there's quite a list there, but it was funny. To say the least, to go through and read some of it, because I like Snickers. I'm a Snickers fan. But if I go buy a Snickers bar, then it's subject to 6.5%. If I get the regular, you know, hold me over Snickers bar. But if I get the Snickers Crunch, because it has flour in it, it's only subject to 1.5%. So when you're standing there trying to make your candy selection... You're
forget
gonna
about the
look.
Health benefits. At this point, we're talking tax implications on our candy bar.
Yes, it's on our candy bar. So, you know, if you're standing there looking at candy, you're not being too healthy anyway, right? So
well, it depends.
It's,
you know,
money that's
if you're
the
buying
issue
it,
there.
If you're buying it for your child, it's about your mental health, you know, because you're not going to get out of this building without that candy bar.
It's either scream or candy, right?
I am not beneath the candy bar.
No, bribery has always been a very effective tool for parenting.
Very effective.
I thought.
So you, that's crazy, though.
I mean, it is crazy.
Whose job is it to come up with this stuff?
Legislators.
Well,
you know, that's
I set
that's
you up on
it.
That one, didn't
you
I?
Did. You know, that's where they all come from, isn't it? You know, I was on city council for 12 years. I know who passed the laws.
Flour. But why? I mean, why pick out that part of it?
I don't know. I really don't know. And, you know, the other thing is if it has to be refrigerated, you have to refrigerate it, then it's not subject to the candy tax. So if you got a popsicle, that is all what? Water, sugar, and food coloring? But it has to be refrigerated, so therefore it's not subject to the candy tax.
They haven't deciphered between refrigeration and freezer?
It says refrigeration. To me, that's...
Just throwing that out there. We might have a new tax.
But it's listed specifically in the list. And I couldn't figure out why it was in the list until I saw the little part over there that said for refrigeration is not subject to candy tax. Okay, that's why. So it is really sad that our laws for like sales tax
are so complicated.
Cannot be just everything subject to sales tax, period. 2%, 3%, whatever. Just make it all subject to it, average it out, and be done with it. Instead of this is subject, this isn't subject, you know, bouncing back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it to the point that we have to look at our candy bar aisle and say, that is, that isn't. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. You know, I feel sorry for the people who own businesses, who prepare food, who have to have their cash registers programmed. Mm-hmm. To handle all these different rates that we have, and because that's a big deal. And, you know, just to have a temporary tax where they have to bring their programmers in to reprogram their cash registers, their computerized, you know, most things are computerized now, that we don't have the little, remember
the
when you
days.
Worked
oh.
in the restaurant and you had the
yes.
tickets and
yes.
then you added them up and you laid it on the table?
At the White Sands restaurant, absolutely.
Yes. That was real easy,
of course,
wasn't it?
Well, Grandpa never let me near the cash register. I mean, come on. I was washing dishes.
You weren't allowed
Let's
to do that.
Let's be honest.
But, you know, it's sometimes our technology has created more work, but, you know, that's a big chore for them and a big expense mm-hmm. for a business owner. To have all that reprogrammed for a short period of time or a changing time mm-hmm. or all the different rates that are there. And then when you go through the sales tax audit and you have to produce your records for all the different things you have sold, what mm-hmm. might be subject to what rate, you know, it's a nightmare for them. I feel for them.
One other thing to note, the A&P tax, which is a 2% on lodging within the city limits, hopefully we will not have devastating rains this spring and we will have lots of people partaking of lodging in this area.
Yes. You know, that A&P tax can be used to promote mm-hmm. the area, to provide mm-hmm. sponsorships for things that happen in the area. So mm-hmm. it's yeah. good for Mountain Home.
Think about it as heads on pillows.
Yes.
And if you've rented a hotel room anytime soon, we are far below the standard rate.
Yes, we are.
Tax
Way
rate,
below.
That is.
Yes.
So let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting with Marcella Norell of H&R Block. Again, you can always contact Marcella at her office on 201 at 425-6422. Three other locations in the area. I'm not going to give you all those phone numbers because you're not going to remember any of them if I do. But you can find whatever you need at hnrblock.com and just type in your little zip code, right?
That's correct.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about 2018 taxes because, like we said earlier, everybody wants to know. We're trying to figure it all out. We haven't even filed our taxes for last year yet, but we still want to know about next year. A few things to talk about. First up, I'd like to ask you about home equity loans, because in the run-up, all we'd heard about was we will no longer be able to deduct any of our home equity loans, but that's not quite true.
That's true. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how they're going to have to clarify things, mm-hmm. because when this passed, all they could talk about was, you know, the limit on the amount of mortgage you could have and the fact that your home equity loans were not going to be deductible, the interest on them.
The limit on how much mortgage you have went from $1 million to $750,000.
That's correct. And a lot of states had problems with that. You know, not a lot, but there were several of them.
Not us.
Not us. No, Arkansas. We didn't make the news on that one.
We're too landlocked for that one.
So it's like, okay, we didn't have to worry about that, but we did have to worry about our home equity loans mm-hmm. because people do. They set up their HELOCs and they use them for whatever when they need money. Well, they've been coming out with things now because, you know, the law says, and this is what they have to interpret, that interest on your personal residence that is used to buy, build, or improve your home residence is deductible. So if you use your home equity loan to build or improve something on your home, then that interest is still going to be deductible. So when you look at that, and this raised the question of, okay, are those home equity loans going to have a stated purpose mm-hmm. on the information that is given to mm-hmm. IRS so that IRS will be able to ascertain, yes, this is a loan that was used to build your or improve your house, to remodel your house, versus this loan was used to buy a car. So, you know, interest tracing rules have been in place for years and years, but this makes it even more so on your home equity loan that you're going to have to be able to trace what you use that money for.
Well, that brand new car in my driveway improves the look of my home, no?
I'm sure it does. Yes. Does it add to the value of your home?
Who knows? You never know, right? No, I understand. One, another thing, capital gains and qualified dividends.
Capital gains are something that's always been talked about since I've been doing taxes, yes. So all those years ago.
And everybody wants them lower.
Yes, and everybody thinks they're a higher tax rate. Everybody cringes at the thought of paying that capital gains tax. And I always tell people, but what you don't understand is the capital gains rate is lower than your ordinary income rate. So if you have $1,000 in interest in the bank, it's going to cost you 15% if you're in a 15% bracket. So it's going to cost you $150. But if you make a $1,000 capital gain, the tax rate on it, if you're in a 15% bracket, is zero. So you're not going to pay any tax on it. So they have this misnomer of what capital gains tax are, and it's because it's always been in the news, the dreaded capital gains tax. And, you know, it's not what they think it is. And they did talk away with doing away with some of the capital gains special rates, but they did still keep the capital gains rates. If you're in a 10 or 15% bracket, then any long-term capital gain you have or qualified dividend that you have, like your dividends on your Walmart stock, are taxed at 0%.
Can't
get better than that.
Is the maximum capital gain rate still 20%?
Yes.
Okay.
So they kept that pretty much intact. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big change.
It's been that way for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you how long ago because every day and every year runs together, you know? So I have a hard time remembering specifically, but I do remember when we used to be able, instead of having a capital gains rate, we got to be able to exclude 50% of your gain on the federal return. Mm-hmm. And then it went up to 60%, I think, so it was 60-40. And so I remember those things, but I can't tell you when they were.
Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act dominated the news cycle there for a while with so many people talking about it, both for and against. And the long story short is nothing's changed. I mean, it's still as is. Well, rates are changing a little bit, but it's still, you know, it's still there as is. One part of it is the individual mandate, and that is still in place for the calendar year 2018.
That's correct. You know, everybody comes in and they say, oh, they did away with that penalty. We don't have to do that penalty now, right? Well, wrong. Because for 2017 tax returns mm-hmm. and 2018 tax returns, mm-hmm. you still have to pay the penalty if you don't have health insurance. Mm-hmm. For 2019, it goes away. So we still have 2018 we're going to have to deal with next year mm-hmm. that you will have to pay the penalty if you meet mm-hmm. certain conditions, and you know that's mm-hmm. an income guideline and health insurance guideline. So those, it's not gone yet.
One final thing that, you know, I want to talk about for 2018 taxes, and this is one of those issues to where we still are awaiting specific information, and that has to do with, you know, if you're in business, your entity, what type of business you are. There's been so much talk about S-corps and C-corps and all these different things. We don't know the specifics yet, but it would be in the best interest of business owners to sit down with their financial team and say, what are my options? What is in the best interest for this business in terms of our tax benefits?
That's correct, because with the deduction that they put out there for businesses, you know, you're supposed to be able to deduct 20% of your net profit off the top and not pay tax on it. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be in place for sole proprietors, for S corporations, for C corporations. You know, you need, there are limitations on it. And one of the limitations that comes to mind real quickly is that it's limited to the wages you pay. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is going to have to definitely be clarified for sole proprietors. Mm-hmm. And then there's also certain businesses that do not qualify. And one of those is tax preparers and accountants.
So, sorry, Marcella.
You know, yeah, sorry me. So, you know,
anything about radio people.
I think you qualify. So, you know, it's, there are so many different questions that can be raised on that, that there's going to have to be clarifications as the year goes along. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be more important this year than ever before. Mm-hmm. That if you are self-employed, to make sure that you're structured correctly so that you are able to utilize every advantage out there that's available to you. And, you know, business owners feel like and do get hit with a harder tax, because if you're self-employed, you have to pay all of your own Social Security tax. You know, you don't have the withholding that, you know, you have a W-2 at the end of the year. You get a check at the end of the week that says, this is your take-home pay. This is what you got to live on. You know, you got to live on what's left after everything else. And so it's, they do get hit pretty hard.
And God bless the business owners that sell candy bars that have flour in them.
That's exactly correct, because their expenses just went up to reprogram those cash registers.
Tax day coming up Tuesday, April 17th, 5 weeks from today. It's Saturday, but H&R Block is open if you're driving around listening and saying, you know what, today is a good, it's kind of yucky outside, it's a good day to walk in and get my taxes done.
Yes, and we're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, and 9 to 5 on Saturday.
Open till 5 o'clock today. Take advantage of that. Hey, with all these changes for 2018, I know we always get the pleasure of visiting with you during tax season. Maybe you should come in later in the year this year so we can get ready for 2018.
Okay, I can do that.
All right. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.